Cape Talk.
DIY.
Thursday, it's DIY day, and Angelo D'Ambrosio joins me in the studio. Angelo, welcome.
Hello. Sorry, Funda Mava. Can you imagine if Funda Mava was doing DIY? How much fun we would
That's
have.
That's got to be the sequel to this movie. Well, if you have any DIY questions for Angelo, please give him a call, 021-446-0567, or you can send a WhatsApp text or voice note to 072-567-1567. From Funda Mava to DIY and grey water systems, a lot of people have been writing in and asking about how to install their own grey water systems.
Grey water is a big thing at the moment, you know. I've been watching, and on Facebook, there's a lot of companies coming up and offering these grey water systems. There's a lot of, they can be installed on your own, but I think you need to do some research first and understand your specific need. And I think that's essential, okay? Because there's a lot of common mistakes that people make. So, for example, people don't know the difference between grey and black water.
What is the difference?
Well, grey water is the stuff that comes from your bath, so it would be soap, but black water would be more things that come from your when you wash dishes or from your dishwasher, that gray, that's got grease, etc., and food particles. That's referred to as black water. So a gray water system would be something that comes out of your shower, comes out of your washing machine, comes out of your bath.
Okay.
Okay, main difference. But there's a couple of these mistakes that we're going. So the difference between grey and black water, storage of the water. For example, you don't want to keep grey water too long. It starts to stink, right?
Yeah.
And stinky. It really smells. So
a day is fine. We often leave the bath water, and if we haven't managed to use it, we leave it there till the next morning. That's fine.
Well, you see, it's got – yeah. So in your bath, and you use it, you generally got about 2 to 3 days before it starts to give a little bit of a stench. But remember now, depending on the size of your tank that you've got, okay, and the pump is regulated to release, to start discharging water at a certain amount of literage. So if you've set your pump to sort of 40 liters, you know, you might not get there and it could start to stink. And okay. So you need to, those are the type of things, and I say context, you need to know what your need is.
What happens to that grey water? Where does it go?
Well, if it's not going into the tank, it goes down into the wastewater treatment. So it would go down the pipe, and the pipe goes down your road and meets up with another pipe. And as you get closer to the, it goes into the wastewater treatment areas.
And when should you definitely not use it? You can always use it.
I don't use the we try not to use the black water, but the grey water we use for everything. So I use it for the bath. For the toilet. I bucket it out and into the toilet. Because remember, you don't want to leave it in your system, especially if you, say you put it in there on a Friday and you go away on the weekend and you come back again, you're going to have stink.
Is there a way to reuse it by treating it with certain kinds of chemicals or something like that?
You can treat grey water. There are various ways of doing it. And I know there was a question about activated charcoal. So activated charcoal does work. Polystyrene foam works. Bark or mulch, that can work. But again, so you would have to put it into a system that sort of, so the water filters through. Mm. You could use, if you had sort of a natural plant system as well, that would work.
What should people watch out for when installing, doing their own installations?
Installations? Okay, so remember, if you're going to have a pump, you need an electrical point. So be sure that you're near an electrical point, or that you've got a plumber or electrician to put in an electrical point. Okay, if you want to use your grey water systems and you got to go uphill, you need a fairly strong pump.
Yeah.
Okay, and then also where you're putting it on. You know, you don't want, if you're going to put it onto vegetables and stuff like that, just make sure that what you're using doesn't affect the plants, because
it doesn't have too much soap or scum. Or
you would like to try and clean it. So if you've got a sort of a filtering system before it gets into your tank, then that would work. You know, the designs get complicated, and that's where problems can arise.
Do you think this sort of thing should be legislated in the future?
I think so.
So that it is proper and it's done properly in there?
Sure. I think you need to have grey water systems. You need to have rain harvesting systems. Those things should be, and we should get a
standard
tax. Yeah, and we should actually get a rebate on the rates and tax. I think if you've got solar, you've got rainwater, you've got heat-reducing properties in your house, triple glazed, double glazed window. You should be compensated for that. But I'm a DIY guy.
Can you go through step by step? Okay, somebody decides, I'm going to put a grey water system in my house. I'm going to install it. How do they go about doing that? What's the first step?
Okay, well, the first step is you need to know where you want to put your tank.
Okay.
So, and then you need to connect the pipes. All the pipes that enter, and you need to either get it into a filter system. So all your pipe from your bath, from your shower, from your washing machines, okay, go into a tank.
Things can get disastrous if you're not a plumber. That sounds quite complicated.
Well, God, that's what I'm saying. You're either a DIY, you can do it on a DIY, you know how to do these things, or rather just get guys in, because costs vary from $4,000 to $20,000. And so it's not a lot of money. If you are DIY guys, and you can do it over a weekend, it's quite easy to install a system over a weekend. But you need to do some planning first. Everything revolves around the planning. Once you've got the planning done, boom.
Craig in Fairways, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for taking the call.
Hi, Craig.
Hi there. Just a question. I'm looking at installing a borehole for the purpose of filling my swimming pool. But the water in Fairways, either you're lucky or you're not, because some have a very strong odor and the other makes the wall very brown, so rich iron, leaching iron. Is there a product on the market that can filter this water to render it, to make this possible, fill your pool?
There are filters available for that type of there's filters that take off the iron away, which result in grey wall. That brown color walled, that rust color.
Sure.
Okay. And then you probably have to treat it as well beforehand as well. So you would sort of need borehole into a temporary tank where it can be treated and then into your pool. That's the way I would look at it.
I see.
Remember,
can you point me in the right direction or should I consult Willow
Page? You know, there was a pump. The guys who made the filter was... I had the name, but I cannot remember it now. But it definitely is there. I read about it. I was reading about it, strange enough, because we have this problem in the construction industry with borehole water being used now too. And the pH level is also a problem. So one has to be – you have to be very careful about simply just using borehole water to fill a pool or for anything. You need to get it tested first, just, what the pH level is, the minerals, the trace elements, etc. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No Thanks, problem. Craig. Right, so let's get back to the steps. We were on the plumbing.
The plumbing, yeah. So once the plumbing's done, and you're going to have to buy, obviously you need electrical point because you're going to need a pump, unless you've got a gravity system where your tank sits higher and your garden is lower, you can use a gravity system. But if you need to pump uphill, or if you want water to go over a large area, so you've got a large garden, whatever the case might be, you need a pump. And those pumps you would buy, but then you need an electrical point. You need to install that into your system. So that would be the next trick spot, okay? But you need to – so that would be the next sort of difficult item to do. And then you need to connect your pipe to your hose pipe through to your system so that you can move it all the time.
A listener wants to know, can a cost-effective system be set up so that the shower and hand basin water goes into the loo system and not down the drain? I've thought about that as well. I mean,
there was someone who actually plumbed into his basin and ran the pipe into the tank of the cistern. So it can be done. It can be done. But I mean, it looks a bit odd. You do get cisterns that have a basin on top.
Okay.
So you wash your hand over the cistern and the water filters down. Yeah.
That's clever.
So it can be done. But I mean, just imagine you're going and you start plumbing and you plumb under your zinc and then you drill a hole through your cabinet and you got the pipe.
The potential for disaster is huge.
Yeah. It can be done, but you need to just plan it properly. And you need to realize that if you don't hide the pipes, you're living with pipes.
There's an SMS, WhatsApp, which is not in the grey water, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Hi, Angelo. The wall behind my stove is painted with PVA. There's some greasy splatches on the wall from cooking. Now I want to repaint. How do I get rid of the fatty stains before painting over them?
You use a degreaser. So you can buy a degreaser. Anyone, they sell them in 750 mils. You can dilute it if you need. And you just wipe it on, wash the wool with it, and let it dry, and then clean it again. And it should take away the grease marks. You need to get it away, otherwise your paint won't adhere properly.
Carol wants to know, how can I secure a 9-kilogram gas cylinder outside? We'll be servicing a water heating system in the bathroom so that it won't be stolen. Is this a good idea? Asks Carol.
It's always a good idea. I would generally build a box, whether you build it out of wood or lutter, something to hide it, with a little lock system on so that no one can get to it. I mean, otherwise, put it in the back garden, in the back courtyard, or somewhere where it's out of the way, that people don't see it. Take it out of eyesight, basically, and it will, you know, because people play as well. So I would just hide it as best I can.
Back to the grey water. Somebody asking, is a rainwater harvesting system not the same thing? Can you explain that, they ask?
Okay. It's different.
Okay.
Rainwater, it would be water collected from your roof or from the garage roof that would go into a tank, a JoJo tank or something like that. I've seen people build big storage areas underground, and all their downpipes discharge underground. So that would be rainwater, and you would use a pump if you wanted to, or reconnect it into the plumbing. You could do that. Grey water is the water you use from your tap that's got soap scum and soap or chemicals or something in it that you've used. So one comes from the roof in to a tank, and then from there you use that rainwater, which then becomes grey water. I hope I've explained that properly.
You have to. Right, well, if you have questions for Angelo, he's with us for another 15 minutes. He's ready and willing to take all your questions, and he has the wise answers. You can give us a call on 021-446-0567, WhatsApp a text or a voice note to 072-567-1567, or send an SMS to 31567. Almost 10 to 2, and we're here with Angelo D'Ambrosio, our DIY guru, and Teddy in Cape Town has a question about water pressure and grey water. Teddy?
Yes, hi guys. Angelo, so basically I live in an old house, and we've got quite good water pressure coming from the mains, but the moment it goes through my mixer into my shower, things get a bit more difficult. So basically what's happening is I've put a flow restrictor on my shower rose, so that I can save water. But now the situation is coming into my mixer, I've got this cold water with a high pressure from the mains, and I've got this hot water with a low or fairly quite a lot lower pressure from the geyser. So now when I open my hot tap and my cold tap, it's not one of those fancy mixers. It's very basic bath shower sort of thing. And when I open my hot tap and my cold tap together, the pressure from the cold overpowers the pressure from the hot. And because there's a flow restrictor on the rose, the easiest pass for that high pressure cold water is actually to go up the hot pipe. So then I get this really horrible shower experience where I can never get the temperature right because the cold water has gone up the hot pipe. So I'm guessing the right thing to do would be to put a flow restrictor on the cold water side before it comes into the tap.
Angelo has his head in his hands.
I've been trying to follow the story. I had to close my eyes.
Was that a bit complicated?
I had to close my eyes to try and understand it. So you got a flow restrictor from the hot water geyser. You got high pressure from the cold water. You've got an uncomfortable shower experience because you never regulate the water. The mixer doesn't regulate the water properly.
Yeah. So the flow to save water, I've got a flow reducer on the shower rose, so where it all comes out.
Sure.
Now there's a high pressure in the cold tap, and there's a not very high pressure in the hot tap. That's just the way this old house is.
Okay.
So by adding that back pressure, essentially, from that flow regulator on the shower rose, I'm forcing the cold water up the hot tap. pipe, and it's going up into the geyser the wrong direction. Do you get it?
I get it, but you got me stumped. I'm going to have to do some homework for you. So if you don't mind just giving your details to Amy, then I'll come back to you with an answer.
Okay, cool.
You got me.
I think what the right thing to do is to put a flow restrictor on the cold inlet before it gets to the tap, so that your pressure coming from your cold equals your pressure coming from your hot, and then it's all going to work.
It sounds great in theory, but before you spend money, let me do a bit of homework for you.
Okay, thanks, Angela.
All right, I'll phone you back.
Don in Plumstead also has a question about grey water. Don, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. The point is, what I'd like to know, you were talking about the boil water through a filter. Ask you if that filter is the Thomas tube filter.
The Thomas tube filter,
yes.
As I said, I cannot remember the name of the filter. I was actually reading an article about it because I was doing research on borehole water for high-pressure water jet machines. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about this filter. I would have to get the name for you.
The one I was thinking of is called the Thomas tube. The filter, you actually put diatomaceous earth in it. It goes through diatomaceous earth and then back into the pool again.
I do not know the name. I need to really go back to the research and look at it. Sorry.
So Don, you think it's the Thomas tube filter?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
great. Thanks so much for the call. Another listener asks, how do I get rid of urine stains in the bottom of the bowl? You're really getting the questions today.
Urine stains. Well, we try various things. I mean, number one, vinegar cleans a lot. We use it in the bath, in the toilet. You can add a 750 mils of white wine vinegar into the water. The other thing that I've seen done before is people soak paper towels in vinegar and pack it on the side and leave it there for a while. Okay.
Obviously not too many, otherwise you're going
to... Just enough to line the side. And the vinegar actually takes away most of the stains. It's quite amazing how it works. The one that does work, which that it's quite weird because it's Coca-Cola. It actually cleans away stains. Pippa doesn't like it, but Coca-Cola you can use to clean away stains. But I'll try the vinegar first. So take some towels. Paper towels, put it in a bowl, saturate it with vinegar, and pack it onto the side of the bowl and leave it. It should work.
Andre in Somerset West has a hot water solution for Teddy.
Oh, there you go.
Hi, Andre.
Oh, hi. In connection with the hot water problem this gentleman had, we've been living in an old house for over 45 years, and we've got the same system. It's a gravity flow from your hot water. My solution is remove the restrictor on your hot water. When you get under the shower, open the hot water fully and then regulate your cold water on a cold tap. It's the only way it will work.
Okay. Makes sense.
Well, Keith in Gordon's Bay also has a solution. Keith?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, the problem is the water pressure on the hot and the cold needs to be the same.
Sure.
So the best way to do that is to put a pressure reduction valve just after your water meter, so that the water pressure coming into the whole house is, let's say, 400 kPa. Then when you open the hot or the cold, you'll be getting 400 kPa and you'll be able to balance it easily.
Which is basically what the caller said he would do. He wanted it. Yeah, it was basically well. Great, thanks. I mean, it's good
thanks,
to know.
Thanks, Keith.
Good thing. All right, bye bye.
And now a question that's above our heads. Lucy has a problem. Her ceiling fan has a definite wobble on high speed. Is there anything she can do to stop it?
I'm quite sure where you were going with that. Lucy. Actually, there is a way to do it. So, number one, clean the blades because sometimes dirt sits on the blade and it throws the balance out. Number two, check that all the screws are actually tightened. Okay, that's a big one. because sometimes it comes loose. Number three, you need to take the canopy off, which is the cover that hides onto the ceiling.
Okay.
The canopy, and make sure the screws are done there. Okay, tight. Then put it back, and then there's a ball system that sits in the middle. You need to make sure that ball is properly balanced in the middle, and you can play with that. You can take it off, fix it back, put it back, and it should be fine. And then the last thing you can do is check the down rod. There's also a screw on the down rod. Make sure that you screwed that. Make sure that screw is also tight.
There you go, Lucy. There are a couple of options there to check. We've got another voice note. I think we've just got time for a voice note on grey water.
Hi, good afternoon. Just with relation to some of the conversation that's been happening around grey water reuse, just to note that people must be very aware that if they're going to be using their grey water on vegetables or sort of fruit that they're growing at home, just to make sure that they are filtering that water somehow, because of the risk of some level of contamination as a result of water being used in the bathing process or anything like that. Then also, in terms of any DIY fitments, people must also take note that they will require some level of overflow connected to their sewer network, which would likely help them in terms of getting it properly certified in relation to the building regulations. Sure. Thanks. This is Jason Mingo. Cheers.
Yeah, he's absolutely
Thanks,
correct. Yeah. Thanks, Jason. And a very good site that you could go to is oasisdesign.net. They give you everything. They give you all the information. It's an American-based, but it'll give you enough information that you could use. And I would suggest everyone read it who's going to install a...
It's oasisdesign.net.
Yeah.
Okay, John in Darling has another hot water solution. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. The guy with the pressure differential, all you've got to do is turn the temperature on your hot water down so that you don't have to mix cold water with it. Now, I haven't mixed cold water with my shower for years. I can never understand people spending all the money heating up their water and then adding cold water to it. I've got my temperature set at 45 degrees, and it's perfect. You don't have to add any cold water, and the machine that helps me do it is a machine called GeyserWise.
Yeah.
You're nodding your head.
I know GeyserWise. It will work. The problem, of course, arises when you're in a bath, and it gets cold quickly.
And you want to add hot water, and then you don't.
So the temperature, having a lower temperature on a geyser, in a running a bath, for example, can result in the water getting cold very quickly.
We have so many more questions, but unfortunately we've run out of time. So next week with Pippa, DIY guru Angelo D'Ambrosio, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, we do have enough time for that SMS giveaway. Another day, another book giveaway. If you enjoy arts and crafts or love a spot of DIY, grab your phones. We're giving away two DIY and design books. All you have to do is SMS DIY and your name to 31567. The person quickest off the mark takes home those books, Designs Galore and Real Easy Decor and DIY. Thank you so much to the listeners who've called in with so many questions. We have about 100 more. So next week. Angelo, thanks so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you very much.